All right, so we enjoyed our prayer experiment. Those of us who were here last week, we enjoyed it so much that we're going to do it again. And we had homework from last week. And Kim has sent me, I printed out a copy of your homework. Oops, that's wrong. That. And then I don't know. I didn't talk to Val to see if she did anything yet or not. So we'll... The first thing we did last week was we talked about, do you remember taking quizzes in magazines or taking the quizzes on Facebook to find out, you know, what breed of dog you were? And last week Val said, I just have to know what kind of pie I am. So this is kind of like a Facebook quiz. And so if it was going to have a title, we'd call it, What's Your Prayer Type? So what I did was I searched through goodreads.com, put in the keyword prayer, and pulled up a bunch of quotes about prayer. And so what we did was we kind of took a few minutes to read through the quotes and then picked the ones that really sort of jumped out at us or kind of tugged at our hearts or spoke to our hearts. And last week, all three of us picked the same quote that really spoke to us for similar but different reasons, like the same theme. And it's included there, but I'm not going to tell you which one it is because it would just be interesting if you also picked that same one. So how about we go around the table and each take turns reading a quote out loud? So I'll go first. Why must we kneel down to pray? If I really wanted to pray, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd go out into a great big field all alone or in the deep, deep woods, and I'd look up into the sky, up, up, up into that lovely blue sky that looks as if there was no end to its blueness. And then I'd just feel a prayer. And that's Ella Montgomery from the book Anne of Green Gables.
Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Corrie Ten Boom.
Jesus, take the wheel, Carrie Underwood.
May God break my heart so completely that the whole world falls in. Mother Teresa.
I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Martin Luther.
Be not forgetful of prayer. Every time you pray, if your prayer is sincere, there will be new feeling and new meaning in it, which will give you fresh courage, and you will understand that prayer is an education. Fyodor Dostoevsky from the Brothers Karamazov.
Help is the prayer that is always answered. It doesn't matter how you pray, with your head bowed in silence or crying out in grief or dancing. Churches are good for prayer, but so are garages and cars and mountains and showers and dance floors. Years ago, I wrote an essay that began, Some people think that God is in the details, but I have come to believe that God is in the bathroom. Anne Lamott, Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith.
We have to pray with our eyes on God, not on our difficulties. Oswald Chambers.
Lord, when I feel what I'm doing is insignificant and unimportant, help me to remember that everything I do is significant and important in your eyes because you love me and you put me here and no one else can do what I am doing in exactly the way I do it. Brennan Manning, Souvenirs of Solitude, Finding Rest in Abba's Embrace.
And the last one is, we should not seek so much to pray, but to become prayer. And that's St. Francis of Assisi. So, Cindy, we're going to put you on the spot and make you go first. As I recall from last week, we kind of said that we each had kind of two or three that were kind of intrigued us. We had kind of a favorite, but then we were like, but then there's this one and then there's that one. So some of these are repeats from last week because I was curious again to see if somebody new this week would pick something different. But there are some new ones there too. So is there one or two that you're particularly intrigued by?
really three.
Okay, three is fine. Yeah. We don't really have any rules here in the prayer experiments.
Well, I like Anne of Green Gables. I can hear her saying it in the television show.
Yes.
And it's something that my soul aspires to.
Yes.
To think that way. But how often do I actually do that?
Mm-hmm. So yeah. You want to know what we all picked from last week?
Around the block.
No, that was the one we all picked from last week.
Oh, okay.
So you also did. Now we're going to do this again when Jeff is here next week. I don't know if
the others that I like.
No, that's okay. I'm just very intrigued. Now I'm like, when I read Anne of Green Gables for the first time when I was, I don't know, 9 or 10 or 12. I don't, you know, I probably didn't quite understand that in the way that I do now, but it's so interesting how much significance that has when it's talking about feeling a prayer, which is not what we think of when we think of praying or being a better prayer.
Right.
We think of being more articulate and more thoughtful and sounding more cogent,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and feeling like we know what we're saying when we're praying. I don't think
that we have to say the right thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not quite sure how you learn to feel that would be interesting prayer experiments to try to figure out how you feel a prayer.
Yeah.
That might require a field trip.
It's just, to me, it's just like being with a friend when you're just, you know, you have those good friends that you can be in silence with and it's not uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
But it, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7.
Hi there.
Hi.
So we're doing what we did last week,
okay.
And we did a little experiment. We made Cindy go first to say which prayer or which quote she liked.
Oh.
And she picked Anne of Green Gables.
No way.
Yes.
Oh my God, we're all alike.
I know. I said we're going to do it again when Jeff's back.
Yeah.
I don't know. What? I don't know if he'll, it'll just be interesting.
That
so we were just talking
scene.
About
yeah.
how we
it's
how
like
we
how
learn
we
to
about it.
Feel a
cool.
prayer.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't have a pin, though, sorry.
Here.
But I can go for one. Okay.
It reminds me of two different circumstances. Like you were saying that it's somewhere that you can be quiet. So it reminds me of being on the north rim of the Grand Canyon, where most people don't go.
Mm.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine and I were there sitting on the hillside just looking down at the canyon. And the wind was blowing and we didn't need to talk because we were just taking in the moment. And that felt to me very much like a prayer without words.
Right.
And then walking from the house I grew up in to the church down the street, like on Christmas Eve or some other Sunday, going to youth group, just walking over there and like on a night like this and seeing the stars, and that's one thing that I still do, even here, is when I see the stars at night, I look up.
I
feel it like that's feeling a prayer because I'm admiring
the stars,
God's handiwork.
Right.
Yeah.
So, which other ones did you? I added some new ones. So you wanted to look and see if there was a new one that caught your eye.
They're all good, of course. I've always liked Anne Lamott. I've read lots of her work.
Yes.
Fiction and nonfiction.
Oh, yeah,
both.
I have, yeah.
And, I like the way, you know, she says prayer can be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's really true, so I like that one. And I've heard of Brennan Manning, and I can't remember if I've read one of his books or not. But
yeah. The one I know by him is The Ragamuffin Gospel.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I don't know if I've actually read the whole thing, but I feel like I've seen enough excerpts to feel like I've read the whole thing.
Abba's Child is really good.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think I've heard of that. I don't know that.
I can look for those again. But I like what he says, too, is that there's something that I'm doing that nobody else can do just the way that I do it.
Yes.
That's comforting and scary at the same time.
Yes.
Because if I think God gave me a job to do and I haven't done it, does that mean I'm the only one?
Right. I don't know. Well, and I think the good news in that situation is that there's always another chance.
I think so. Yeah.
That'll get done. Or in the times and places where we fail, God will raise up somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that whatever that thing is going to be forsaken because of us. We're not, you know.
Yeah.
What are we that God is mindful of us? Like, we're just teeny little. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Ultimately, I always think that. And but if it's, maybe God wants it to be done the way I would do it. And so if somebody else does it, it's fine, but it's not the way I would have. And that's fine, too.
Right.
So. Oh, I can't spend time thinking about that.
Right. Well, that just can get pretty depressing.
Yeah.
If you get stuck in
productive.
That. Yeah. So was there another one or just those two?
I thought I did three. Lamont, Manny.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And I never really read the original Anne of Green Gables. I saw the
movies.
I saw the movies first, the one on PBS, not the new one.
I think that's the one I saw. It was one on PBS.
With Megan Follows.
Oh, I own them. Yeah. If we want to have an Anne of Green Gables night.
We need to do that.
Yeah. I also have the books.
And with an E on Netflix is really good.
Oh,
too.
I've not been able to bring myself
to. I binged that.
What is it?
And with an E. It's like an up new version.
I've seen it
and I just want to see the other version.
I can't let go of.
I know. Megan Follows and.
Yeah. And I like the new people too.
Jonathan Crombie.
Yeah,
I mourned when he died. That was a sad day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, people.
Do you have, aside from the ones from.
Mother Teresa's bothered me all week.
She's bothered
that
me.
That darn Mother Teresa.
And the St. Francis, I like the new one.
I didn't realize she was such a mess until I read this book about her.
She really. Mm-hmm. I think that almost makes her a more inspiring person than kind of this holier than thou.
As a person who knows what it's like to try to go through a deep, dark.
Yeah, dark night of the soul.
God, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Can't imagine what she did.
Uh-huh. So you said you hated the Mother Teresa.
No, I didn't hate it. It just bothered me.
She bothered her.
It bothers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and the same. Yeah, that St. Francis of Assisi, we should seek not so much to pray, but to become prayer. I like it, but I'm not sure that I understand.
I don't know that I understand it.
I think that's what it intrigued me is because I don't understand really what how do you become a.
I'm thinking of that verse that says, do everything with all your might.
It just makes me think
as a gift to God. I can't remember the translation of it. And I'm also thinking of
whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of the Lord or something like that.
And also Brother Lawrence.
Oh, it went out.
Who from practicing the presence of God. He said, you know, when you're doing the dishes.
Right.
You're in God's presence.
Right.
Whatever you're doing.
Well, there's a famous Zen saying from a Zen master, like where the student comes to the Zen master and says, I'm finished with my breakfast, you know, what's next or what do I do now? And then the Zen master says, go and wash your bowl. Like, to just remind him, it's like each thing you do, that's the, you know.
Right.
Like,
is a thing unto itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I think it's cool.
Well, and there's from a Thessalonians. I can't remember if it's first or second, but I think it's chapter 5 that talks about in all circumstances, give thanks, something, and pray continually.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel,
the prayer without ceasing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like that St. Francis of Assisi quote has something to do with that praying without ceasing, which, you know, does not literally mean we
that you never do anything
else, but it's rather seeing all that we do as a way of
right.
I wouldn't say that's praying. Probably true if you know anything about his life. It was very violent at times.
He was, or his life was?
His life was.
I don't think I know more, but I know more quips and quotes by St. Francis of Assisi than I probably actually do his life. He's
quite the warrior.
Yeah. Oh, anything particular? I know you came in a little late.
I like this. I like this.
The Brennan Manning one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you're just doing something that you think is just menial or just, you're just going, you know, you're doing the same thing day after day or whatever, and you don't maybe think it's very important or it doesn't feel very important, well.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a reminder, you know?
Right. And I think even if, maybe even if we're doing things that we feel like we aren't doing them very well either. Yeah,
right, there's this that.
You know, it says,
I've been through that a lot lately.
Everything I do is significant and important in your eyes because you love me and you put me here. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that, I think God wants us to do our best, but sometimes our best is less than stellar.
Right.
Sure. And so it's not so much earning approval by God by how well we do something, but because we have been loved in order to love others.
Right.
If we can think of the things that we're doing, even when we're struggling to do them, as a way of loving, then maybe that will, it won't necessarily make the struggle less, but it may make it more.
Ooh, I like this color.
You know, I got a bright cherry color.
I'm a big fan of very fun office products. So,
Amy's favorite color is this.
Yeah, it's hard to find a black or a blue pen in my office. Unless it's a very odd shade of blue. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our quasi Facebook, what's your prayer type quiz.
Right.
So then the other thing we did last week was we learned about the ACTS model of prayer. And is this something you had ever, you have heard of it?
Okay. Not exactly in the same configuration, but generally, yes.
So very quickly, the ACTS is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So adoration is when we catch a glimpse of how magnificent and awesome God is. Our hearts naturally turn to adoration. Confession, we probably know what that is because we do that pretty regularly. Thanksgiving, we also probably understand that because we do that pretty regularly. Yep. And I think even, you know, with the daily examine that we've been doing in the evenings, essentially that kind of boils down to a little bit of confession and a little bit of thanksgiving.
Are we recording?
And then supplication, which is a big word I think they came up with just to make the acronym make sense.
Yeah.
So supplication is requesting God to do something, either for yourself or on behalf of somebody else. When we pray for others, we call this intercession. So I listed the website at the bottom of that box there. And it has more written there, but this, I was just looking for the highlights. So then the experiment that we did using this ACTS model was we analyzed a psalm. And for each verse or line, we tried to guess or assign one of these letters. So I picked, I think last week we did Psalm 19, and tonight we're going to do Psalm 25.
Sorry, I keep yawning and I can't stop.
Yeah,
I need coffee.
I have narcolepsy.
Right.
caffeine either.
What we're going to do, and you can do, I mean, this works out well with the Psalms, which are prayers anyway.
Yeah.
Probably bits of poetry also would apply to this. Not quite sure it works so well. Like with a parable that Jesus is telling, or you know, history from Genesis or something. But I think it's an interesting way of analyzing. And given your profession and thought, this actually might be kind of up your alley. So
when I was taught this as a way of constructing your prayers, and I think what we did, what we were taught was the adoration, then the thanksgiving, and then the confession. But doesn't, you know, they wanted to make an acronym.
That's so right.
The order doesn't really matter.
Right. So if we could just roll through the verses, I'll read them out loud. And then if you have a, and they don't always fit into one of the four categories. So we usually just sort of make them fit. So let's see. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. What does that sound like? It actually just sounds like the beginning of a prayer, right?
Yeah, I can't really... I mean, I can't really say. I was going to say supplication because it's like, here's my... You know,
oh,
like,
kind of an offering. Like, oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah, okay.
That's that was the first thing that came to my mind.
I'll buy that. I was leaning toward adoration, but...
I thought that too, but then I thought of the supplication
I
first.
Think your reason is better than mine. Mm-hmm. So then let's look at verse 2. Oh my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me.
That's a supplication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Verse 3, do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Mm. I like that phrase.
Got it.
Wantonly treacherous.
It is good.
So, that kind of, the first part sounds supplication-ish.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Second one kind of sounds like
I mean,
cursing someone, right?
I know. It's like, it's kind of like the first part, do not let those who wait for you be put to shame, is like, you know, help these people out. But then right. The second one is like, oh, I don't like them. They're wantonly right. treacherous.
It's kind of like that us and them. Save yes. us and punish
well, that's
them.
True. Yeah.
Well, that it could true. Be. It could still... be supplication for them, too.
Yeah, I think so.
So if they're ashamed, well, they will true. Come to confession.
Or intercession. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah. It could be that.
Verse 4. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Sounds like supplication yeah, to me. Supplication
mm-hmm. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long.
Well, last part is adoration, but the mm-hmm. yeah
the lead me in your truth and teach me supplication.
Yeah.
And then the second part for adoration right. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Mm-hmm. Is that
still sounds like supplication,
to me. I think you're right. Of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. That's sort of adoration-ish.
It is, but it's manipulative.
What do you mean by that?
It's when you... This was another thing, too, that I've heard in the past. To remind God of his character. When you want something.
Right.
Not just for that, but... Reminding right. God that,
now remember, God, you've been merciful yeah. in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you should probably be merciful again now. Mm-hmm. In this
and these are Jewish prayers.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's and very often when they start mm-hmm. to kind of recount their history
mm-hmm.
in their yeah. prayers, it goes yeah. all the way back yeah. to the Exodus.
Yeah.
And it's that reminder of God saved us, God saved us, mm-hmm. God saved us, mm-hmm. God saved us. And so here we're going to trust that God will save us again.
And it's a and that verse is a lead up for the next
just so
one.
You know, we had to run outside and I'm sweaty now. And cold.
Oh, yes.
I understand.
We had to yes. run twice outside.
So then verse 7, do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord.
Hmm. That's harder for some reason.
I think it's
supplication.
Supplication,
too.
Yeah.
I guess it is. It's
you
like...
think the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. Adoration. Yeah. Adoration.
Yeah.
Verse 9. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees.
Yeah.
adoration.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's true.
For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great.
Supplication.
Confession.
Mm-hmm.
Confession. I have found when you try to read through Psalms, they're either all confession or just a teeny tiny little bit confession. There's not really
right. There doesn't seem to be that much. It seems like a lot of like, please get rid of my enemies for me.
Yeah, well, and they all, you know, they all kind of are, kind of have one major theme, and they don't always have a lot of these other little pieces to them.
Well, it didn't say how much you had to have.
I know, that's true. That's true.
It can be a mixture, too.
Yeah. Right. Verse 12. So, who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose. I feel like that's one of those that doesn't quite fit in.
It doesn't quite fit. I don't think.
I think it's adoration because he's going to teach you.
Right.
Yeah.
If I was going to pick one, that's the one that I would pick. Mm-hmm. 13. They will abide in prosperity and their children shall possess the land.
It's a continuation. Oh, yeah, that's true. Thanksgiving. I was going to say it looks like a continuation of that, but it's not.
The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them.
Adoration, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Adoration, yeah.
My eyes, verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net.
Thanksgiving.
I say adoration.
Adoration, Thanksgiving. Both of those verses.
But that doesn't mean.
The first one is a little adorationish, but the second one, for he will pluck my feet out of the net, sounds Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I wouldn't want my feet dangling in the net. Somebody pluck me out of
the net. I know. And you don't think of nets and feet.
Unless you're a fisherman.
Yeah,
and
you're, I guess.
Throwing the net over and your feet get tangled in it and you get poured overboard.
I guess
that's very important.
I guess when I think of net, I think of fish, and fish don't have feet, so that's what.
And
I was.
There's a writer who has a whole story about something called snares.
Oh,
snare trick.
Yeah,
and it's not exactly a net. It's like one of those traps.
Because you can't.
So maybe this kind of net means. Some kind of trap.
Right. You can get stuck in the fishing nets.
When they're tossing those, when they're really those heavy canoes, like out on the like Amazon or something, and they're throwing those nets over. A lot of them have like hooks and stuff inside the net. Mm. So and they if they hook you or they get wrapped around your foot and you're throwing them out and a fish gets on there or whatever.
And they're
you're pulling them in,
and they're super heavy. You can get stuck in there.
You think about that. That's pretty.
I stand corrected.
I just know that because I watch. I used to watch, what was that called? Something Catch.
Deadliest Catch.
Yeah.
Yes. It was like scary. I'd be like, no, thank you. I'll be on there.
Verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted.
Supplication.
Uh-huh. Relieve. That would be better. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress.
Yep. Same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins.
Part of that's confession.
Yeah.
Well, not specific, but still.
Yeah. Well, so a little bit of supplication, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me.
Ooh.
That feels a
I feel like it's supplication because it's, when it says consider, it's not just think about this.
Right.
It's like, look.
Right.
Look
Oh, guard my life and deliver me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you.
Supplication.
Mm-hmm. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you.
Supplication.
Mm-hmm. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all its troubles.
Supplication.
Yeah. So, that had a pretty good mix of all.
Yeah.
The confession, it was a little on the...
Yeah.
short side. So what we did with that was we wrote our own group prayer following this format and using these words from Psalm 25 as inspiration.
Okay.
So I don't, trying to be mindful of the time. We probably won't do that tonight.
All right.
But that's actually kind of the homework assignment that we were working on. Did you do the homework?
No.
Oh!
I need my homework.
She gets the gold star.
I realized I didn't even answer your text. I'm so sorry.
I didn't remember what I texted you.
You asked me if I could send a picture of it, and I just like...
I got it.
I think I looked at it, and I was going to go back to it. You know how it is?
It's all right.
Yeah, I never did.
So, can somebody look up Psalm 19 from last week?
Yeah.
So, what I'll do, Cindy, is we'll read the psalm from last week. Then I'll read you the prayer that we wrote.
Okay.
And then, Kim, did you use Psalm 19, or was this just something you did on your
own? It's actually Psalm 36.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's a little bit of the season of gratitude. One of the quotes from last week that I don't think is in here this week about prayer changing us.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And then the psalm, kind of the whole combination of those three things.
Okay.
Do you want me to read it?
Yes. Please.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's the ESV version,
okay,
by the way.
Sure. Wow, there's a lot of stuff in there we didn't include.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember that part.
I was like, wait, there's some good phrases in there.
I was like, ooh, I don't remember that part. Yeah.
So then the prayer we wrote together says, Dear Lord, we see the heavens telling of your glory, in the dewdrop on the pine needle, the sun breaking through the trees, and the waves crashing on the sand, powerful and gentle. Use your glory to powerfully clear our hidden faults. Keep our hearts gentle, resisting the temptation to transgress against you. The law of the Lord revives our souls. We are grateful for all the ways you enlighten our eyes, and our hearts rejoice in your glory. In our times of prayer and prayer experiments, let the words of our mouths and the prayers that we feel that have no words be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So the idea of the homework, which some of us did and some of us didn't.
In your defense, I didn't do mine until like 2:30 today.
I had court at 3.
Right. So the idea was, so if you look at the last page in your handout, we always do, in the Presbyterian world, at least in this Presbyterian world, kind of a prayers of the people, which is kind of the big prayer in the service. And I presume that you
do. We have prayers
do.
Of the people, yeah.
Yeah. Does yours normally have like a petition element where like the person leading says something and then the people respond.
Yeah, Lord, okay. Hear our prayer.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. We have different, there's
different ones.
Eight or nine different prayers. One of them, the response is silence, and then the rest have different kinds of responses.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And my favorite is one that has, instead of just one single phrase that you do every time, it has different phrases, that, but they all match what the leader says.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the homework was to attempt to write a prayer that could be used in worship. And since I'm the one who gets, who picks what gets said, that I know we can definitely use, you know, I'm glad to use any prayer that anybody wants to do in worship here. I don't know if you got to know somebody to get your prayer into the service at the Episcopal Church, but while there's no pastor, it might be easy to slide something in. Mm-hmm. So we just quickly talked about how you construct or write a prayer. Mm-hmm. And so it's just deciding how to start it. And we talked about how everyone kind of has their habitual or their favorite way mm-hmm. of starting a prayer. And then to remember that as you write this prayer, you're writing it on behalf of the whole congregation. So instead of using I, you want to make sure to use we. And if you're not quite sure what to say, you know, you can start with the psalm like we did and borrow mm-hmm. some phrases and put mm-hmm. something together. And then at least for the habit of what we're trying to do, following the Acts model mm-hmm. of prayer.
Did you send that one?
No, I never got around to it.
Oh, see?
Talking about the homework slacker.
I know.
Was she up here throwing some stones? Yeah. Yeah.
It's good, though.
Well, I'm letting them throw them back at me.
I was going to say, if I do two, can I get extra credit?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what. I moved this piece of paper around on my desk for a week.
And did you?
I didn't do anything else. I just kept shuffling it from one.
Yeah.
It was always on the top because I knew.
Mine's on the coffee table someplace.
Yeah, okay.
So is a lot of other things.
Well.
I had to do all mine from memory.
No, sorry.
So then you just end the prayer with some kind of ending, like in Jesus' name, amen. And then you're done. So, and then I had said if people would be willing, they could email it to me and I could use it in service and say who wrote it if they wanted to, or not say who wrote it if they didn't want that. And
I'm going to try. He's going to give me extra time.
Well, that's fine. I mean, we've got plenty of time. We're just kind of making things up as we go, so we can linger for as long as we want.
2 days.
So would you like to read?
No, you can read, because my
head hurts. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I'm running out of voice, so how about somebody else read it? Okay.
I can read, I think. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up our voices to praise you from the depths of our souls. We are humbled by your faithfulness. Together with great joy, we boast of your goodness. We are blessed when our trust is in you. Lord, we have sought you and you have heard us. You have answered our cries. You have given us rest from our anguish, from our anxieties, from our doubts, and from our fears. You have heard the cries of the poor and sent angels to camp about them. The hungry have feebly come to you and have been made full. Those that seek life and love in you give witness to your goodness. We are blessed when our trust is in you. Forgive us, Lord, for the evil we harbor in our hearts and express by tongue and in deed. Teach us the desire of your will, that we may be reminded of your goodness in our every thought and make your will the motivation for all that we do. Guide us on the path pursuant of the peace that you desire for us. Deliver us from all that is not your will. We are blessed when our trust is in you. Remind us, Lord, that you watch over us always and never fail to hear our cries. Even as your children, our afflictions are many, but you are faithful to make us whole. You are near us in our brokenness. You forgive us when we are burdened with remorse. When we are weak, you are our strength. When our burdens are heavy, you lift us up. Remind us, O Lord, that in all things we are blessed when our trust is in you. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in hearing our cries. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you for our salvation, for our protection, for our deliverance, for the presence of your Spirit, and for loving us unconditionally. We are blessed when our trust is in you. In faith, we entrust our hearts to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wow.
That's really good. That's wonderful. Huh.
Yeah. Someone was holding out on us.
Someone needs to be a writer.
That topic keeps coming up. We need to shut that down.
No, that's good. So was that easy? Was that hard? Did you have to work at it, or did it just kind of...
I wrote it at 2:30 today.
Yeah, well...
I read that song.
Yeah, so tell us your process of what led up to... Because
It wasn't just that moment.
Right. It's Thanksgiving season, and gratitude is a big thing right now. And so that's kind of in my forethought a lot. Mm-hmm. And the Bible fell open to the 36th Psalm, and I thought, I'll read it. It sounded good. I read it all week.
It's weird how that happens.
I had thought...
So you read it all week?
Yes.
So you really kind of were...
Wow.
Marinating. Mm-hmm. Dwelling is the fancy
and I had
word. But
picked, all right. Mother Teresa has bothered me, but I had picked the other, and I don't remember what the quote was, but it was one about how the prayer changes us.
Right, right.
And that had been kind of in my forethoughts too that last week. So that's how we got there.
Wow. Uh-huh. So do you write prayers like that regularly, or was this kind of the first time you had tried to sit down and
it's the first time
construct with, something?
It's to be that constructive, that's the first time. That's right. The first. I mean, like, generally it's really just good. A blah, 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 blah.
Sure. And it's when we're just praying on our own, it's one thing. But right. when you're kind of praying, there feels like there's sort of an added responsibility to be knowing that you are leading the prayer on behalf of other people.
Yeah, the audience is different.
Uh-huh.
When it's just you and God, that's one thing. But if it's you and God and everybody else too,
right,
then it's different.
And I didn't, like, none of my education, a formal biblical education or theology or growing up in church has ever been write your prayers either. So it's a new thing for me. So.
Yeah. And definitely it will be for me because I've never done it. Never, ever. I mean, I write things. And I usually write my best stuff when I'm in a time crunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, you know. I wish that it wasn't that way. Because, you know, be a lot less anxiety.
Right.
But, you know.
It's a legitimate temperament issue. It's the way you're wired.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's always been that way.
Thus speaketh the writing coach.
Yeah, it's always been that way. I've always done that.
Ponder things for a long time, and then I just sit down and it just...
But, you know, when you're writing something big, you need more time, and it's like, you know, if something doesn't come to me till the very end, it's like, okay.
And then, but then you get a burst of inspiration.
Yeah.
Under pressure. Yeah.
Yep.
Welcome to Saturday sermon
writing. I would totally be that way. I would totally be that way.
It's not great.
It'd probably be like midnight, not great, every Saturday night.
Yeah.
It probably, for me, would be.
Yeah. I've gotten out of that habit.
Yeah.
I'm usually in bed by decent.
It would totally be me doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't do that. Like, mine's always done, and I, like, on finals night in college, I was reading a book for fun.
Oh, you're one of those.
I hate those people. Yeah.
Oh, peeps, I gotta go to the choir, man. Yeah, so homework again.
Okay.
Will be try to. So we had talked about whether the thing to do would be to use this as, like, part of a daily examine at the end of the day, or maybe, you know, whenever is a good creative time for you. For some people, that's earlier in the day, and for some people, it is later at night.
More often.
And you can, you know, write one and then revisit it and tweak it along the way, or you could try to write something new every evening, and then, you know, whether you want to try to cobble, you know, kind of make a Frankenstein's monster kind of prayer where you just kind of take the pieces that you like. I can recall somebody I went to seminary with saying, it was probably Monday morning, he would write a prayer that he would just use every day, all week long. Uh-huh. And then the next Monday he'd start a new prayer. So I think Monday he probably put a lot of time and effort into it. And then the rest of the week was really just kind of rehearsing the words he had already written. So there's not a right or a wrong way of doing it. There's probably a couple of different approaches to take.
Right.
And maybe some days when you're feeling more creative and you have more energy, then you can write something new every day. For those of us who like written prayers, or if not, then at least you have something that you wrote maybe the day before, 2 days before. Mm-hmm. Kim would probably be more inclined to just write a new one every day, but not write it. She'd just keep it in her head. Whereas I might, like, I would rather have it written down so I can...
I would not remember. I mean, parts of something would be in my head for a while, but then they would leave.
Right, right.
And that's part of the writing process, to me, thinking
and, you know,
in your head for a long time.
People with narcolepsy have different things happening in their brains, too. Mm-hmm. I don't have the cognitive ability for some certain things that I used to have.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to, I have to adjust and write more things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's another prayer experiment. In the books.
In the books.
Do I need to send out a message in the middle of the week saying, hey, wondering how everybody's doing on your...
Well,
remember,
we're
supposed to be doing this.
To do
that. Okay.
Well, that'd be awesome, because I'm all about that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing is now, if you are having trouble getting started, now we have two recordings of us kind of talking about this. So you can always go back and listen to it again.
I was going to listen to it,
if you need that inspiration. So I... just finally got last week's uploaded today.
Sorry.
I'll try not to take quite so long for this week. So you have your homework, and we'll get back together again next week. We think Jeff should be back. He's been gone for 2 weeks. Okay. So
I probably won't be as late next time, because we're doing the really long, hard workouts this week. The hero.
Oh, yeah.
It's hero week.
Right.
So
we may, do you want to, did you like that reading through the quotes? Do you want to do this again?
That
okay. I'm going pretty, I may have to try a new website, because I feel like now I've searched through prayer and I feel like I've gone through most of the like legit uses of prayer, and now it's like, and not that a fiction book is not necessarily a legit use of prayer, because clearly we all love Anne of Green Gables, but like,
really good.
They're just getting theologically a little dicier.
Yeah.
So I may have to find a new source to gather some new quotes, but
leave Mother Teresa in there, because I'm feeling froggy. I'm going to take her on.
Did you ever read her book? It's really short.
Is it like a one she wrote or one about her?
I think that's the one she wrote. It's really thin. I can't remember.
When you were talking about Dark Night of the Soul, I thought that was Teresa of Avila.
So St. John of the Cross was actually the one who started it.
Too.
But I think he articulated what a lot of people have done.
I have a book that's about depression and faith, and it explains the Dark Night of the Soul, and that's how I learned that Mother Teresa had that problem, that issue.
Cool.
Oh, for like 50 years.
I did not even know that. Because the book doesn't... I don't remember whatever book I read about her. I don't remember that saying that.
Yeah.
That's perplexing.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Ready?
Break.